Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my message has been talked about. My message has been talked about from Brandon to Brother Gary. So I'm looking forward to it. It's so good to see everybody. We miss y'all when you're not here, I'm telling you. So I told Brother John it was good to hear his voice back there this morning. But all of you, when you're not here, you are missed. And those watching online today, we miss you. It's just so good to be in the house of the Lord, be able to gather together. Well, all right. Are y'all ready for the word? It's 10:30. Let's see. I've got an hour and a half, so we're good. We're good to go. So, all right, Brother Bob, you holding it down back there? All right. Rachel and Junior. All right, good enough, good enough. All right, well, let's just go ahead and get right into the Word. It's from 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, I've got right here at the beginning, I've got quite a bit of text I want to read, but it's very important. So if you just stay with me and just follow along, and let's just see what the Lord has for us, okay? This first story is from 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with the 8th verse. We'll have that online for you. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him," now speaking of Elijah the prophet, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there." Watch this. "I have directed," that's important, "a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "Oh, and bring me, please, a piece of bread." Here's her reply. As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son." Verse 14. "And for this is what the Lord," this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, "if you do that, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." Look at verse 15. "She went away and did as Elijah had told her." She made the right choice, didn't she? "So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah." Isn't that an awesome story? To obey the word of the Lord, the word through Elijah, through that prophet. Hallelujah, it pays to obey and make the right choices. All right, here's the other portion of Scripture, and it's found in the book of Ruth, chapter 3 and 4. Let's start with chapter 3, and it's only 5 verses, 1 through 5. "One day Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, 'My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for.'" Verse 2, "Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." Verse 5, here's her response. "I will do whatever you say." All right, look at chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, that was Ruth's mother-in-law, "Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Title of my message this morning is, "Our Choices Have Consequences." Our choices have consequences. And so this morning I want us to look how our choices can lead us to becoming an abundant person in the Lord. Another word for abundant is rich. And also how it can and will affect our natural lives. How many know our choices have an effect on our lives? And I want to use these two stories then in the Bible as an example, or we could say even as a backdrop. Have you ever noticed that there are some people that come into our lives that are like linchpins? Well, Pastor, what in the world is a linchpin? Well, if you don't know, linchpins are those little pins that go through the end of an axle outside of the wheel that help keep the wheel from coming off. And you usually see them on farm equipment like garden tillers, or you'd see it for sure on the old wagon wheels. Another name for linchpin, of course, is cotter pin. And if you've ever tried to use something that has a linchpin and the linchpin has fallen off, then you know their importance. And thankfully, guess what? There are people that come into our lives that serve as linchpins. They help us keep everything together. And you can find linchpin people in sports. You can find them in the workplace. You can find them in your own families. And you can find them in churches. And there are certain people then that have this wonderful ability to keep everything together. There are certain people who have this wonderful ability to keep things running smoothly, and their mere presence doesn't allow the wheels to fall off. In our first story here in 1 Kings 17, we find a linchpin person by the name of Elijah, who was a prophet of God. And the Lord sends him to the home of this widow of Zarephath to make sure that her life and the life of her son doesn't completely fall apart. As one reads the story, it looks like her life and her son's life is not only going to fall apart, but they are going to die. They're down to their last handful of flour and just a few tablespoons of oil left in the jar. That is it. The cupboards are completely bare. Everything and anything that could have been eaten has vanished. There's no Vienna sausages. There's no potted meat. There's no Spam. There's no sardines. There's no smoked oysters in olive oil. That sounds awesome. No bologna. There is nothing left to eat. And after this little meal of biscuits, all they will be able to do is to lie down and die. And you would say she was down to only one wheel, and it had a very rusty and dodgy linchpin. Her time and her son's time on earth was almost to an end. It doesn't look like a happy ending to a story. Yet it is the continuation of the story that we find at the beginning of chapter 17, where we are told that for a period of years, the land has received no rain, not even the presence of dew. Now think about that for a second. Not just any rain, but there's no dew on the grass. No moisture whatsoever. You can imagine how devastated then everything looked. Rivers and streams and creeks and springs are quickly drying up and have already dried up. No well water is left, and the nearby Mediterranean Sea is full of water, but guess what? It's salt water, which can't be used for drinking water. All the livestock now have either been sold off or they have already been eaten. Most of the wildlife has vacated the area, and they have migrated then wherever they could find water and food. And this widow's land, which one time looked like a botanical garden, now looks like a desert wasteland. Her hope is turned to despair, then into depression, and now into complete defeat. All that was left to do then was for her and her son to have a final meal and then wait for the final stages of starvation and death. But God, those here this morning that are with me and those watching, would you just say that with me? But God. Then the prophet Elijah, who remember was sent by God, arrives, and the storyline of things take a wonderful turn. Things go from being hopeless to being full of hope. Things go from being a time of despair now to a time of rejoicing and a time of celebration. But guess what? It doesn't happen all at once. There are some things that first have to happen. And this morning, it is those things that I want us to examine in more details. And as we examine them, I want us to not only understand them, but I want us to be thankful for them in our own lives. For the things that we find in this first story and in the second story are common to us all. And they occur, listen, in each one of our lives. Number one this morning, let's be thankful for choices. Be thankful for choices. Let's be thankful that for the most part, right now living in Texas, we still have the freedom to choose today. Can you say amen? Amen. So be it. Woohoo! One of the greatest freedoms that God has given any of us is the freedom to choose. We can choose to live this way or we can choose to live that way. We can choose to say the things that we want to say, and we can choose not to say these things. And this woman of Zarephath had the freedom that day to make a choice. At the very minimum, she could have been able to say at least, she was able to at least do a couple of things. She could have apologized to the prophet that she could not receive his request and then just send him on his way. After all, she was not of the tribe of Israel or Judah, and therefore she had no proper allegiance to one of their prophets. Or she could do as the prophet Elijah said to do. She could make a little bread for him before she made some for herself and her son. Well, we know what she did. Something inside of her said that her best option, Brandon, was to go with the words of the prophet. How many know it's always good to go with what God says? Aiden's already amen in it already before I said it. Hallelujah. I wonder what we could have done in her place, or what we would have done. Would we be willing to follow the advice of someone not of our tribe? Would we be willing to give our last bit of food away? How about, say, to a visiting Baptist or a Methodist? Or what about a visiting Catholic minister who came by like the prophet Elijah? Because we know how this story ends, we can trick ourselves into thinking this woman really had no other choice. But guess what? In reality, she did. She could have chosen to say no. She could have chosen to send Elijah on his way. However, there is one important key, and you find it in verse 9. It was the Lord Himself who had impressed upon this woman to receive the prophet and to listen to him and to obey him. All that being said, it doesn't mean that she had to listen or even she had to obey. It was her choice, plain and simple. And yes, the Lord, guess what? The Lord likes it that way. He created us to have a free will. He created us to have the ability to choose. And it's easy this morning then to praise God when we make a good choice or when others make a good choice. However, it is not easy then to praise the Lord when we make a bad choice or when others are making a bad choice. It's hard. And sadly, oftentimes we find ourselves leaning towards blaming the Lord for those bad choices and bad decisions. Well, God should not have allowed that person to take a drink and then drive. God should have intervened. God should not allow anyone to have the choice to hurt someone else. God should not allow anyone to use a bioweapon against a group of people. God should not allow anyone to declare war on someone else. The reality is you can have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't give someone the ability to choose and then not allow them to choose. Are you hearing me this morning? And guess what? Not everyone who chooses, chooses wisely. However, today you and I do have the power to choose wisely. We do have the power to make the right choices. How many would be honest and say, in your lifetime, you've made some stupid choices in your life? I know I have. Oh, my gosh. But God. Woo-wee. For just as the Lord instructed then the widow of Zarephath to help the prophet, the Holy Spirit, watch this now, has promised us that He would help us make wise choices. Jesus tells us this, found in John 16 and verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Here we go now. Jesus wants us to fully understand the power and the presence of His Spirit in a person's life. He fully understood that if we allow the Holy Spirit, He will reveal to us, Brother Tony, the truth. And He will lead us and He will guide us in ways, watch this, that will end up benefiting our lives and the lives of those around us. Listen now, the Holy Spirit will help us make the right choices in our life. However, for that to happen, we must first of all, listen, believe in the power of God's presence and the presence of God's Spirit in our lives. You got to believe that there is such a thing. You got to believe God. And we must believe that when we come into faith or when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that His Spirit at that moment infills us and stays with us. And we must believe that when we are born again, watch this now, we are never alone, Sister Linda, again. And as I spoke about it last Sunday, we come into then a covenant relationship, Brandon, with Him. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God brings life from above. That's called salvation. And then it resides in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits. Our spirits are immediately reborn. Our bodies, the body says, will make a change at the moment in the twinkling of an eye when he calls us home.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But guess what? It's a daily renewal in this old flesh. Our mind, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. The Bible says you get regenerated daily being in the Word. Amen? He then begins at that moment of salvation, even in our immaturity. He's teaching us and he's guiding us and he's transforming us into the image of Christ. And that's called sanctification. Understand with me then, we must then always submit and commit to being open to the Holy Spirit. Opening our hearts, opening our minds, opening our spirits to His presence and to His guidance. We must allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth, and then we have to choose to live in that truth. That is to say, to follow the directions and the leadings of the Spirit and also His promptings that you get, Brother Gary, when you are in that Word, the written Word. The Apostle Paul understood it all. He understood all of this, and that's why he took the time to write in so many of his letters the need to receive wisdom and guidance and understanding and knowledge of God's Spirit. He did his best to get his churches praying for the power and the presence of God's Spirit in their lives. And the Apostle Paul knew that the only way to live an abundant life was then to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Paul knew that we all need help in making the right decisions. How many know we all need help to make the right decision? Paul knew that we all need that help. He knew that we needed help to understand what is true and what is not true. And guess what? Sometimes we need help in understanding what is holy and what is profane. And there is no one better to do that than the Spirit of Almighty God working in our lives. This morning we need to be thankful for the ability to make choices. Amen. It's an amazing gift that God has given all of us. We also need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to help us make the right choices. Right now, in 2022, more than ever before, in the days to come, guess what? We need to be praying for the power and the presence of God's Spirit in our lives, because there is, I'm going to tell you the truth, you need to listen, there is coming the times where hard choices will need to be made, and it will be imperative that we have the mind of Christ in every situation that arises in our lives. And I'm telling you, there's going to be situations in each and every family in our lives that will arise that we're going to need a word from God before we take a step. And so we also, guess what? We need to surround ourselves with those who have been given by the Holy Spirit the gift of giving good advice. Amen. Guess what? There are those folks out there. There are those linchpins out there. And this widow's family was saved because she opened her heart to the Lord. She made a choice to believe in God rather than in herself or her own rational thought. She took a leap of faith. And I believe it was a leap that was being guided and directed by the Lord God Almighty Himself. And this morning, let's learn then from this story, and let's do our best to be open to God's leading and to respond by making the right choices from in the days to come. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. And if we'll do that, I believe we will find that our lives will reflect those right decisions. So this morning, we need to be thankful for the ability to make right choices, or to make choices, making sure they're right. And then there's the story of Ruth and Naomi, where we find even some more things to be thankful for this morning. In Ruth's story, we see that we need to be thankful that we have the power to be transformed from the inside out for the better. Remember that passage we read in the book of Ruth. Remember how through making the right choices, Ruth was transformed from being a penniless Moabite widow to in the end becoming the great grandmother of King David. Talk about a transformation. We have to understand, listen now, that at the time that Ruth lived, a person born in the land of Moab was considered an outcast. The Moabites were considered to be a group of people that had been cursed by the Lord Himself. One could say at the beginning of Ruth's story, it sure did look like she was under a curse. Earlier in her story, one reads where her husband, Mahlon, was a man from the land of Judah whose family had moved to Moab because of a famine. And it was while Mahlon was in Moab that he met Ruth and he married her. And rabbi scholars tell us that she was the daughter of a Moabite royalty. In other words, Mahlon married a princess. And life seemed to be going okay. But the Bible tells us that Mahlon suddenly got sick and died way before his time. In fact, we find that not only does he die but before his time, but his father and his other brother also die before their time as well. And Ruth finds herself then living in her homeland of Moab without a husband, a father-in-law, and a brother-in-law, and without an income and without much of a future. And the Bible tells us then that Ruth made the choice to go back with her mother-in-law, Naomi, to live in the land of Judah. Naomi, her mother-in-law, thought it would be best for her to return home. But they did not come back, watch this, they did not come back to a nice little house with a white picket fence and a bank full of money. They came back as paupers. They came back as beggars. They came back having to scratch out a living and depending on the generosity of others, not the life that a normal princess would choose to live. As you read Ruth's story, you see that she had to make a lot of decisions during the time of her life. She had to make a lot of choices that determined then the rest of her life. Ruth chose to look after her mother-in-law, even though Naomi at the time was not the best companions. Naomi had changed her name to Mara, which means bitter. And guess what? It's not easy to live with someone who has chosen that name and that identity in life. Ruth chose to give up the land of Moab for the land of Judah. Remember, in Moab, she is a princess, while in Judah, she is seen as a cursed outcast. And above all, listen to this, she chose to depend on the Lord God Almighty instead of the false gods of the Moabites. She chose to work hard in the fields instead of becoming a local Moabite prostitute, which, by the way, was what happened to a great many foreign widows in that day. She chose to be faithful to herself and to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and also to the Lord God Almighty. And all of those choices were made out of love, Brother Tony, not coercion. And yes, all of those choices, guess what? Transformed Ruth. With each step towards the land of Judah, she changed. With each day she took care of her mother-in-law, she changed. She changed not for the worse, but for the better. She went from being a penniless widow to becoming one of the richest women in the land of Judah. She went from having to glean in the fields to owning those very fields. And we don't know exactly how long Ruth was in those fields day after day before Boaz first saw her slaving away. We don't know how long it took for him to fall in love with Ruth. We don't know how many days, weeks, or months she had to come home bone tired and dusty, only then to have to start grinding the grain into flour and then baking the bread for the next day or 2 days so that she and Naomi could live. What we do know is she became a product of her choices. And those choices turned her into one of the greatest women in the Old Testament. What we do know is that her choices enabled her to be transformed, Sister Linda. Those choices enabled her to be transformed from an outcast to one of the women who were blessed in bringing the Messiah, the Christ child, into the world. It was from Obed, her son, came Jesse. And from Jesse came David the king. And from David down through that lineage came Joseph, who married Mary, from who Jesus was born. Listen to me carefully. You and I can allow our choices to give us the power to be transformed for the better. We can allow the Spirit to assist us into becoming a person of integrity, a person to whom the Lord can use, and a person who can live life to its fullest. He's not looking for a perfect vessel today, but He's looking for a willing vessel. That's the beauty of what we find in the Bible. We find story after story of people who allowed the Lord to help them make the right choices in their life. And then they were ever so gradually transformed then into people of righteousness and holiness. And that is what the Apostle Paul's prayer was for the church in Philippi. Listen to his words as he prays for them to make right choices. This is found over in Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Here's what he prayed. It's through verse 11. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. There we go. The righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Listen now, the Apostle Paul understood that if his congregations could make the right choices and being led by the Holy Spirit, they would also be transformed, Brandon, into people of righteousness and holiness. Not a bad ending then for a congregation of people who had started off following pagan gods and living lives of immorality and sensuality. So as we look at these two stories, they share with us two great things that we can be thankful for. Again, number one, the ability to make choices. And number two, the ability to be transformed for the better by the circumstances that we find ourselves in any season of our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? All of us here today have to make choices. It's just part of our human life. We have to decide small things and large things on a daily basis. And the choices that we make will determine where we go, what we will do, and how we will act. Are you hearing me this morning? And yes, parents, guess what? Our choices affect our children. I said our choices affect our children. I hope you're hearing me today. Let me ask us some questions. Who helps us make our choices then? Whose advice do we seek when we make our decisions? Let me challenge you today that there is someone who is far wiser than you could ever imagine. He's wiser than any person we hear or watch on YouTube or any social media. That person desires with all of his heart to help you make great decisions. And that person, of course, is the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Let me challenge you today to be open to the leading and the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. After all, who else can lead us better into understanding what we should do each and every day of our lives? Secondly, seek to allow the circumstances that you are in right now to help you transform, to help transform you into an even better person. Whatever season of life you're going through right now can help you become an even better person. Like the widow of Zarephath, things in our lives may be tough. We may feel like we're down to our last jar of oil and a bit of flour, physically, emotionally, and yes, even spiritually. How many say you ever been there? Ooh, I know I have. I see two of you. That's good. We may feel like the only good thing left in life to do is to lie down and die. But you have to understand something. The Lord is with all of us, and He will help every one of us. And for those who say, well, Pastor, that is not where I am today, and in fact, things could not be any better. Well, listen, then you give God glory and you see what you can do for the widows of Zarephath in your world, in your circle of influence. Be an Elijah to them and help bring a miracle into their life. Some of you this morning may find yourself like Ruth. You may find yourself having to start over or doing things that are very tedious and painful. You may find yourself as the sole provider or the sole caretaker of a loved one. Life can be hard, just ask Ruth. We can even let those seasons of our lives cause us to become bitter and discouraged and at times even depressed. Or we can lean on the Lord. We can do our best and then watch us as the Lord helps us become all that we can become. We can square our shoulders back and do what Ruth did. We can live one day at a time. We can do all we can today, and we can then get up the next day and do it all over again. We can realize that the Lord can use our hard times to help us become a better person. And this morning, we all are faced with choices and transformations. The question is, are we open for new jars of oil? Are we open for new bread? Are we open for new families and new futures? But Pastor, is it really that simple? And the answer is yes, it is, only when we allow the Holy Spirit to help us make our choices. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to use our circumstances to help us become a more mature person, a more fulfilled person, and a person who reflects more of God's glory and honor. But is it easy? Absolutely not. Just ask the widow of Zarephath. Ask Ruth. They would tell you that some days are almost impossible. But they would also tell you that God will be there with you. The Holy Spirit will guide you and He will lead you. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to become an even better person than you are right now today. And as we close this morning and we prepare for communion, I want us to pray then for the widows of Zarephath that we find in our lives. And pray for the Ruths that we find in our lives. Let's do our best to be that Elijah in their lives. Let's even be a Boaz in their lives. And that is to say, a person that does all they can do to help them and support them and to provide for them emotionally. Let's be there for them emotionally and socially and physically and spiritually and yes, financially. Let's be determined that this week and the week after that and the week after that, that we will seek the Holy Spirit. Come on, guys, that's all right. Come on, get it ready. And that we will allow the Holy Spirit to help transform into even a better person. Andrew, would you help Brother Tony there? Oh, Garen, you coming? Okay. That we will allow the Holy Spirit to help us transform into even a better person. And what I mean by a better person, watch this now, listen to this. By being a better person, I mean one that is richer in wisdom, richer in love, abundant in peace in your life, and patience and abundant joy. And when you've done that, then watch this. Things that we need and desire, the Lord will see to it that it comes your way. Because that's who He is and that's what He does. How many serve? No, we serve a good God. He's a good, good Father who can transform us. He can be there for us. And yes, guess what? He's made all things new. Now we're going to have a song here in just a moment. I want you to examine your heart today and by what you've heard today. And as we get ready to partake of this communion, just ask the Lord to show you and the decisions that need to be made in your life. And knowing what you've heard today, He'll help you make the right decisions. All right, go ahead. Let's go ahead with that song. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you very much.
I've heard you can take what's broken and make it whole again. Well, here's the pieces of my heart. What can you do with them? 'Cause I can't hold them all together anymore. So I let them fall, surrendered to the floor. You make all.
He does.
Oh, God of mercy and love, do what only you
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah, just let it play in the background. Let's take our bread today, and we're remembering His body was broken for us, and we'll never forget that. Isaiah 53, He was wounded for our transgressions. That was our offenses. He was pierced through for our offenses. He was bruised or crushed for our wrongdoing, our iniquities. And the punishment for our well-being, the chastisement of our peace, was laid upon Him. With His stripes, we are healed. Not shall be, not maybe, they are. His stripes, by His stripes, with His stripes, we are healed. Doesn't matter what the symptoms are. We have to declare what the Word says. We are healed. All right. So let's partake of the bread today, remembering that this is His flesh, represents His flesh that was broken for us. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, remember remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till He comes." So we just thank You, Lord, for the blood that You shed for us, for our sins. You brought salvation to us. Thank You for that today. And we're also rejoicing that as we do this, we're also remembering that our covenant, a protection over our lives. He protects us, y'all. Doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter what comes our way, He promises, and He does not go back on His agreement. Hallelujah. All right, let's partake of this, remembering the blood that He shed. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I praise You right now. I thank You. I thank You for our body of people. I thank You, Lord, for healing that's coming to our body. I thank You for a body army that You've gathered together here in Alvareda under New Life Ministries. It's an army of ministry. Not just one person, not just one family, Lord, but it's an army of families that You've brought together for us to do great and mighty things. And so we thank You now for what's going to come about this year in the midst of all the stuff out there, all of the any and every virus that we hear about. In the midst of all of that, Lord, we thank You that we're going to do great and mighty things for You, and that we're going to see a harvest of souls come in this very year. So, Lord, we're just asking, God, that You would help us to make right choices today. Begin a day today anew in our hearts and our lives, that we're going to make right choices, that we're going to look to You when the hard situations arise to know what to do, and we're not going to be overcome by the enemy. And so, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you. I thank you for this body. I speak strength over our body. I speak wholeness. I speak peace. It's already been prayed over them today. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing and what you've begun to do. Those that are watching online, those that are watching or hearing at a later date, Lord, we thank you for those out there, Lord, the extension of our body. Lord, we thank you, and we just speak blessings over them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet in Jesus' name. And we command every evil thing to let go in Jesus' name. Let go of those. They're your children in Jesus' name. Every virus, every symptom that's attached itself and wants to stay, we command it to go, to let go and move in Jesus' name. Right now, we thank you, Lord. All right, let's all stand together. And I've got, I'm still doing good. I've got another 40 minutes here to go. Here we go.